przykład strasznie się bałam Niemców.
I really feared the Germans. I didn't know any Germans, nor the language, nor the border situation. I simply couldn't imagine what it is, how the two sides actually work. But somehow I had to get to the other side of the border, so I began taking my three children to the park. In the park there was a carousel. I learned how to say hello in German, because I didn't know any German. Each of my children also learned these words, and with them I overcame this fear.
I każde z tych dzieci nauczyłam tego. I przy tych dzieciach przełamałam sama ten lęk.
Our story begins with Hanna Ilnicka, a resident of the Polish-German borderland in the twin city of Görlitz and Zgorzelec. This city's recent history is one of the turbulence. After the Potsdam Treaty of 1945, what was once a German city was suddenly divided into two, split by the Nisa River between Germany and Poland. Out of this difficult, sometimes ugly history, connections had to be built. For Hanna, despite not speaking German, it all began with a letter in the 1990s.
Dostałam list od kobiet niemieckich.
I received a letter from German women in Görlitz asking for contact details for an organization on the Polish side. I wrote back to the women in Görlitz saying that we don't have such an organization, but we do have women. I have to say that it is thanks to these women I gained such belief and such powerful emotions that this cooperation between the two sides of the city is bound to succeed.
Współpraca pomiędzy obydwoma stronami miast musi się udać.
From these beginnings, various cross-border initiatives and cooperations developed. One of the most significant examples is the cooperation between the German Meeting Point Memory Mission and the Polish Foundation at the former Stalag 8A. Now located in a forest above the two cities, Stalag 8A was a prisoner of war camp used by the Nazis between 1939 and 1945. In the 1960s, Roman Zgłobicki, a Polish history teacher, started to explore the history of Stalag 8A. The most famous prisoner of war of Stalag 8A was a French composer, Olivier Messiaen, who during his imprisonment in the camp composed and premiered his quartet for the end of time. This inspired Dr. Albrecht Goetze, a German theater director, to bring back the memory of the place. Marek Walanin, the board member of Foundation Memory Education Culture, remembers the beginnings of the idea.
Dr. Goetze presented the concept of showing and restoring to the world the knowledge about Stalag 8A, the prisoner of war camp that functioned here during the Second World War. After presenting his concept, Dr. Goetze said that it was a crazy idea, but that he wanted to create a meeting place here, a place where many young people could come together and, based on unbiased history, shape a new future. I remember at the time we called it, informally, a new framework for how history about this area should function, a framework aimed at creating a new Europe.
Historii o tym terenie, po to, aby tworzyć nową grupę.
I really believe strongly that it's good to preserve this type of sites because first of all, it's a way for the families to pay tribute to their ancestors, you know, to go on site, because it's so important. You can see within families, when people want to research about their ancestors, when there is a site somewhere, you can feel that it's something very important. It's like a base.
That was Valérie Lehr, the granddaughter of former prisoner of war Jean Lehr from France. Researching her own family's history, she connected with other prisoner or war descendants from multiple countries. Such institutions that gather together Valerie and others incubate not only German and Polish memories, but transnational ones as well.
The symbol of that museum, where German people and Polish people are working together, I found it really good. It's a very good way to say, okay, our ancestors did that, but let's build something where we can work together again.
Even though Valerie has never visited the Stalag 8A site herself, she still feels a deep connection to the place. Its presence was felt throughout her childhood, influencing her identity.
I started to ask questions, so second generation. And the more I discovered about my grandfather, the more I understand things within our family. Because everything obviously has consequences, but even without talking about war, the country you grew in, the friends you had, the parents you had, the education you received, the studies you've made, this makes oneself and all the past within the same family, it's exactly the same. You know, there are some burden that are transmitted from one generation to another without even noticing it.
As Marek sees the mission of the foundation,
from the very beginning, we emphasized very strongly, and we repeat it often, that our task is not to build borders, but to build bridges. Bridges of understanding, bridges of cooperation.
Bridges shaped this border region. Post-1945 brought about border changes between Poland and Germany, set by the Nisa River. Małgorzata Zesnarska, local archaeologist and guide of the Lusatian Museum in Zgorzelec, underlines the importance of the river in these borderlands.
We must remember that this river, Nisa River, for a long period of time, it was not like, you know, this natural barrier as it is now, but it was more like a spine of the region. It was a very important road to the north, and it was not like, it was not dividing people, right? Not in that way that after the war. But after the war, this river became the border.
Fast forwarding to the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, new possibilities of cooperation between Germans and Poles were opened up. However, without a common European Union framework, there were still some obstacles. Around 50 kilometers north of Görlitz and Zgorzelec, the Muskau Park stretches across the border. Here, Holger Detz, the site manager of the UNESCO heritage site, recalls the difficulties of the border controls in the 1990s.
Ja, mit den Kontrollen, das war natürlich zu der Zeit bevor.
With the controls, it was intense before Poland joined the EU, and it was a challenge, a task to deal with, to still have a functioning cooperation, and that for months and years. These things leave their mark. And then always the traffic with the controls, and especially with foreign guests we had back then. There were always these little problems at the border. Therefore, it was important that the bridges inside the park were rebuilt, and also the UNESCO and their advisors always recommended that the bridges need to be in the park and at least the central one. The double bridge needed to be rebuilt. Otherwise, it would be difficult to become a heritage site because the bridge is the important connector. And it also improved working processes as we could work directly inside the park and did not have to wait at the official border crossings with all the controls. Of course, these controls all ended with Poland joining the EU, and it was really great and easy. And it is so natural now and already felt normal after a short time. The first days, though, it was really weird. When I used to take visitors across, we would usually wait in the border queue, and that was suddenly gone. You could go there, open the gate, go across and say, "We're in Poland now." Well, and then you had to think about what to do next.
Since Poland's accession to the European Union in 2004, crossing the border has been easy. Nonetheless, this border fluidity cannot be taken for granted. In 2020, during the COVID-19 pandemic, the border was closed again, and you, barriers arose.
Also mit Corona, die Kontrollen, da war ja eine Zeit lang das auch komplett dicht und die Brücken im Park waren dann auch geschlossen.
So, during COVID, with the controls, for some time the border was closed off completely. And the bridges in the park were also closed by the Polish side. But that was just how it was back then. Yet the park would have still survived, because at some point COVID would be gone again and the borders would have reopened. And therefore, I'm also really relaxed with the current border controls. I think it is a political and societal thing. It was a political decision that we have controls now, but then what actually gets checked is not a lot. Here it's not as heated as it might seem in the media. You may read some headline about how everyone is going to get checked, but no. What you get here is perhaps a car, but only a few suspicious people get checked. And at first it was only from one side, but then of course the Polish side joined in. Also due to political and societal reasons, understandable to me. But I think it is only a question of time. Today German controls weren't even visible anymore. Only later there was a car and some people looking, but no one checked any IDs. Here on site it is simply different from the bigger political picture.
Ist hier vor Ort nicht so, wie sich's vielleicht im Großpolitischen dann darstellt.
Although the pandemic times are gone and the border is open once again, we face new challenges. Due to political reasons, both countries have implemented extensive border controls. The constant presence of the Polish and German border guards reminds local people and visitors of the existence of the border. Yet, locals see the importance of keeping the cross-border cooperations despite the difficulties.
No pandemia, no zamknięte granice, bariery takie, że nie można tych barier przekroczyć.
Well, during the pandemic, the borders were closed. We prepared various posters and we had to wear masks. When we came to the border, we greeted each other and waved to each other because we couldn't get that close. And that was one situation. Another situation was that during Christmas time, when our organization met up, we exchanged small Christmas gifts. The border guards didn't really want to let us through, so we hung these gifts on the barriers. But somehow we managed to convey our wishes and small gifts. We didn't go there just for the gifts, though. We went to have contact with people.
Nie po te upominki chodziłyśmy, tylko po to, żeby mieć kontakt z ludźmi. Bo ja uważam, że najważniejszy to jest człowiek, człowiek, bo to ludzie różni tworzą to społeczeństwo.
I believe that people are the most important thing. People, because different people make up this society. If people do not speak openly about their needs, then politicians will simply argue among themselves at the top and will not understand the needs of the people who are here, who live here on the border. The most important thing is not to be afraid, not to create barriers, but to find solutions to overcome them. Is it worth cooperating? Absolutely. Above all, it is worth facing and overcoming all kinds of barriers, especially personal ones, by listening to the others and trying to understand people in different ways.
Przełamywać różne no bariery wszystkie, no, no swoje osobiste, słuchać tych ludzi, próbować w różny sposób tych drugiego człowieka zrozumieć.
Here is Małgorzata again with her thoughts on the current situation.
You know, we've made such a progress, such a big steps into the future, right? Into working together, solving problems. So we are moving back right now. History of these two towns is optimistic, in fact, because if we will move back in time for several decades, it would be impossible to just, you know, walk to Görlitz, to cross this bridge, because the bridge wasn't even there at that time, right? So it would be very difficult to cross the border, right? If not impossible, you would have to have a very good reason and a lot of bureaucracy done to cross the border. And, you know, there was a lot of hatred, a lot of pain, a lot of sadness in this contacts between Poles and Germans. They would see each other, but it was impossible to, you know, talk about a lot of things. You must remember also about this, that it was impossible for both sides to sit around the table and talk it through. For many, many decades, it would be impossible. So if we look at this point where we are now, how not to be optimistic after all, right? It's 80 years after the end of the war. It was a very difficult process, but look at the place that we are now. It's a big difference. If this situation is possible to solve, any other situation is possible to solve. Only you need time, goodwill, and also you need to recognize many different points of view.
This borderland is not only shaped by us, humans, but by its challenging nature. Robert Brachun, the groundsman and tour guide at Muskau Park, reminds us.
Niestety obserwujemy stały spadek poziomu wody w Nysie, tej wody ubywa.
Unfortunately, we are observing a steady decline in the water level in the Nysa River. This river is disappearing. This is such a dangerous phenomenon that if we do nothing about it, we must expect that initially the Nysa River will become seasonal, like rivers in Spain, for example, or at some point it will disappear completely. Water levels are well known nowadays. That is why this river is extremely important and we no longer see it as a dividing border, but as an object of special concern, which is literally a matter of life and death for us. Without it, we cease to exist. The river is also a huge symbol. And as I can say, the river is no longer, at least I do not perceive it as such, a border river. Yes, I know the history. I know where this border came from, and so on. But now it is more of a natural object and a beautiful landscape feature.
Ale obecnie to jest bardziej obiekt przyrodniczy, no i przepiękny obiekt krajobrazowy. Ponieważ ona w myśl tej idei cięcia Hermana dodaje całemu założeniu parkowemu wiele, wiele walorów, znakomicie go upiększa.
Borders may be drawn on maps, but it's the rivers and bridges that impact the history, institutions, identities, and sense of belonging for borderlanders, as well as providing a poignant experience for visitors. So, as our story comes to a close, we invite you, dear listeners, to think about what borders mean to you. Where are they symbolized in the landscapes in which you live? We think Robert sums it up beautifully.
Nysa Łużycka, jak każda rzeka.
Like every river, the Nysa River is a symbol of life, a symbol of passage of time, and sometimes also a symbol of change. Because like every river, it changes its course and wanders, taking a little bit of Poland with it, and sometimes a little bit of Germany. These changes obviously take place over a long period of time, but as a symbol, this river is important to us.
Ale jako symbol jest dla nas ważny.
This was the podcast Bridging Borders, Voices from Görlitz and Zgorzelec by the European Network Remembrance and Solidarity, made by
Luisa from Romania,
Ottilie from the UK,
Hannah from Germany,
Rita from Pakistan,
Karla from Slovakia,
Marek from Czechia,
Alicia from Poland,
Tony from Germany,
Jakub from Poland,
and Zeliha from Ukraine. The ENRS is funded by the Ministries of Culture of Poland, Germany, Czech Republic, Hungary, Slovakia, and Romania. The project In Between 2025 is co-founded by the European Union. Views and opinions expressed are, however, those of the authors only and do not necessarily reflect those of the European Union or the European Education and Culture Executive Agency. Neither the European Union nor the granting authority can be held responsible for them.